Hello and welcome to The Preservationists, the monthly radio show for fans of local historic architecture, the history of unique buildings, and the people from our community working to preserve and restore them. I'm your host, Astronomus Ray. This month we are chatting with Susan Peterson, the manager of KMUN Coast Community Radio, and my co-host Eric Wheeler, an architectural historian. We will be exploring the history, architectural features, and stories of KMUN's headquarters, the Tillicum House. Susan, would you mind introducing yourself?
Well, good morning, everybody. Susan Peterson, station manager. I came to KMUN 10 years ago as the development director, and a couple years ago I was promoted to station manager, and I absolutely love it.
And Eric, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, good morning. I'm Eric Wheeler. I live in Astoria. I'm an architectural historian and a sometime volunteer here at KMUN. And I have a background in public radio a number of years ago with Wisconsin Public Radio. So I'm a big supporter of community radio and in particular KMUN.
Fantastic. Thank you both for joining me today. To begin, I'd like to start off with the history of the Tillicum House. What is the story of that history?
Okay, I think you're tossing it over to me. So this house was built, the building was built in 1892, and was built for a fellow named Thaddeus Stevens Tillicum. And shall we call him, I'm sorry, Tillicum, actually his last name was Trullinger, another T word. So the Trullinger family, very important in Astoria history. I'm going to call him Ted Stevens Trullinger, is the son of John Trullinger, who was an early pioneer here and very involved in the lumber industry. A businessman that was very successful and probably best known, this would be John C. Trullinger, best known for starting the first electric generating station in the city of Astoria. And he had all three of his boys involved in that project, including what I'm going to call Ted Trullinger, who built this house in 1892. So an early family, very important family in the region. Ted's brother, John H. Trullinger, I think I have that right, became a very well-known artist, actually went to Europe and studied in France, was given an award for his portraiture, and then came back to work in Oregon the rest of his career. So a very significant family. So we could call this, before it was Tillicum House, I guess this is the bottom line, it was the Trullinger House. And a great example of late Victorian, what we call Queen Anne architecture, and I can say more about that later.
Going along with that history, a lady stopped by the station a couple years ago, Lisa, and she lives in Bend now. As a child, her grandparents owned this house, wow. And she spent many holidays here. She said the upstairs was haunted and all the kids were afraid to go up there. The KMUN studio was the kitchen. Our entryway was the dining room, and she and her siblings had a lot of fun playing here in the late 60s, early 70s.
So what's interesting to me as an architectural historian is here this served as a single family residence for many years. It was converted at some time, we think, possibly into a dentist's office or a doctor's office. And then before it became KMUN Studios, it was an apartment building. So it's a great example of what I would call adaptive reuse. So here we have, from the outside, as you walk along the street or you're coming up the hill, you look at this little building and it's like this cute little Victorian cottage. No one in their wildest dreams would guess this is a radio station. So a big shout out to the previous owners, and in particular KMUN, for preserving the architectural integrity of the exterior with the wonderful, let's call it, I'll talk about this maybe a little bit later, but this gingerbread detailing that we see on the outside with the multicolors, very evocative of that kind of late Victorian elegant excess. And here we see it in a fairly modest building, still intact, looking pretty much the way it did when it was built. Some alterations with the porches and so forth, but it's an architectural gem as well as a really important part of the community.
Yes, and adaptive reuse is super valuable. It's a huge aspect preservation-wise. So, and now going back to the beginning of KMUN and the history of how it became a radio station, this wasn't the original location where we were at. Is that correct, Susan?
That's right. In 1983, when we went on air full time, we were in the second floor of the Gunderson Building downtown. I understand it was a small space and a leaky space. But one of the cool things about it was there was a window that you could crawl out and get up on the roof. And as you can imagine, the KMUN people had many good times up there overlooking the city, maybe having a brew or, you know, just having fun out there. So, and then we moved into this building in early 1987. And I think it got the Tillicum House name from the Tillicum Foundation. That is the name of the nonprofit that holds the license for KMUN. They became a nonprofit, an official nonprofit in 1977, 5 years before we actually got, 6 years before we actually got on air. And of course, Tillicum means friend, people in the Chinook language. And Stuart Bell was the one who proposed this name to the station. And beyond that, I don't know. Stuart, if you're listening, I would love to hear the rest of the story, how you came upon Tillicum, so we can have it in our history books. So.
Yeah. And what's interesting is KMUN actually kind of has a fairly unique story on how this house was obtained and given. It was a donation.
It was a donation. Doug Sweet, the longtime beloved station manager, saw the potential in this house and the building and the parking lot, and said, and went to Helen Patty and said, "Helen, give me some money so I can buy the the Tillicum House." And she did, in name of her father. And I have something I wanted to read about her father and her family. It's just an amazing family. They do all kinds of good things all up and down the coast. But last year at our annual meeting, no, it was at our birthday party, our 40th birthday party, we finally dedicated this house to the Patty family. And so Helen had said about her dad, he was a Native American man from a Native orphanage in Oklahoma who worked really hard and built many landmark buildings, including the Truman Library. And Helen remembers sitting on Harry Truman's lap during the dedication of that library. Her father believed in equality, tolerance, and the power of creativity and the arts that made, when made available to all, from rich kids to ghetto children to Native orphans.
Wow, that is beautiful history. I never had any idea of that. That's so amazing. And so what year do you know off the top of your head was KMUN becoming here at Tillicum House?
1987, the mortgage closed, or, you know, we took possession in early 87 and started retrofitting it to, you know, make it into a radio station instead of a home.
And now, looking at KMUN previously being a home and now becoming a radio station, out of your personal perspective, what are some similarities that you can see with it being a home? Like, do you notice that I think this would be a bedroom? This is obviously previously this type of living space. What are some similarities that are so distinct to you that you appreciate about this house that still has that aspect?
Well, definitely upstairs, all the rooms pretty much feel like bedrooms. The one big room we now call the Rose Room, it was maybe separated a little bit more than when we, you know, when I started coming into the station at 10 years ago. It's a rather large room, and I think it was retrofitted for the apartment building part of it. That Joey Patnod lived in that part of the upstairs where my office is, and I have a picture of him sitting in front of the big window looking out at the Columbia River playing his guitar.
Amazing. Yeah. So this has a pretty rich history in its building and also in its architecture. Eric, can you tell me a little bit about some of the architectural details that are unique about KMUN?
Essentially, the city of Astoria boomed and really became into its own as a port city, as a transportation hub, as a manufacturing hub where the canneries were and the lumber yards in that time period, 1880s to 1890s. So this late Victorian ornate style, which if we could zoom in a little with the camera, I could point out some more details here, is this asymmetry and this what I call eye candy, the wonderful shingling, the cut wood shingles and the paint on the exterior, the gingerbread up under the eaves. and the wraparound porches and so forth. So you have this amazing complexity in a fairly simple, small footprint. So that's late Victorian. And so we see the oldest surviving buildings in the residential districts here are that. We see some Italianate, we see some French Second Empire, and we see a lot of this Queen Anne. So the Tillicum House, the Trullinger House, is a great example of, I would say, solid middle-class late Victorian Queen Anne architecture built for a single family. Now, there were other friends and family members who lived here, so it may have been designed in mind with numerous bedrooms. And I've seen pictures of the restoration of the Rose Room, and it's really interesting how that space was converted. So just the bottom line here is this building represents the time in Astoria's history where the city was really coming into its own. There were millionaires being made, you know, week in, week out. And so the Trullinger family, very prominent family, they're building close to the waterfront, close to where their lumber mill was, and also in a very kind of elegant, ornate style, which, interestingly, we see echoes of that just looking at the door trim here. And that's one of the charming things that Susan referenced, that we still see some of that late Victorian fabric on the interior as well as the exterior. So it's a very significant building representing a very important time in Astoria history.
And now going back to kind of to branch off what you're speaking with the interior of KMUN and its architecture, we definitely see those features all throughout KMUN. Even when you walk in the doors, I'd say my personal favorite detail is the front doors. As soon as you walk in, I love those doors. Susan, do you know what is your favorite? Do you have one that's maybe your favorite detail?
The doors, the pocket doors between the front desk area and then the bigger room, they are so spectacular. I mean, they are floor to ceiling. They're huge. Brian Petrowski fixed them and made them so smooth, and they actually work now, and this great. I love that. I love the fireplace. We're having the hearth redone, and I found some 1890s Victorian tile on eBay to replace the stuff we have, so that's going to be beautiful. I failed to mention earlier about the stairs. The stairs are insane. The railing is so ornate, and the curve and the width of them is so small. Oh boy, it's tricky going up and down the stairs sometimes, but very much indicative of this was a family home.
We'll return to Susan and Eric in just a moment, but first I would like to invite you to this month's Topics in Preservation. If you drive down the main street of just about any small town in America, you'll be sure to find one. An old bank that looks like an ancient temple. The marble, the columns, the pediment. Why were so many banks built like that? And what are small towns supposed to do with those buildings now? How did bank architecture modernize with the changing times? This month's Topics in Preservation will examine bank architecture and how it evolved over the last 100 years. In this interactive presentation, we'll look at bank buildings in Astoria, including the colossal 1920s Astoria National Bank building, the modern U.S. Bank, and of course the 1970s remodeled Wells Fargo. Join us at 6 p.m. at the LCPS office on the corner of 12th and Duane, the first floor of the Hotel Elliott. Fun fact, the LCPS office used to be home to First Federal Savings and Loan of Clatsop County. The entryway and interior space were redesigned for the financial institution in 1961 by the architectural firm Wicks and Brown. Topics in Preservation is a monthly gathering for folks in the community to share ideas and discuss topics related to historic preservation. This event is free and open to the public. We hope to see you there. Now we're turning back to our guests, Susan Peterson, the manager of KMUN, and Eric Wheeler, an architectural historian. So can you tell me a little bit about why the architectural features of the Tillicum House are important and significant with the time era that this was constructed in? Like you mentioned, the gingerbread detailing.
Sure. And those details were a message being sent out to whoever's walking down the street or the people living there, is it has that elegance, that class, that style, which interestingly, the style, the Queen Anne style, went out of popularity at pretty much at the turn of the century. By the first two, certainly by the first decade, the first two decades of the 20th century, you didn't see this style of home being built, whether it was a high-style mansion like the Benjamin Young House or the Gustavus Holmes House, which are highly recognizable. This is a more modest example. What was following that then in the early 20th century was a style that was much more restrained. We call it craftsman. So one of the beautiful things about Astoria is we have a lot of the late Victorian and we have craftsmen. I mean, literally next to each other, after block, after block, after block, particularly on the North Slope. So another very Astoria thing about this building is a wonderful picture window looking out on the river, you know. So it clearly was designed with a, how shall I say it, the white-collar client, the white-collar resident in mind, as well as sited here close in, well-located with this great view. So it's both of its time and also of its of this place that is Astoria.
And Eric, what is one of your favorite architectural features of the Tillicum House?
Well, Susan mentioned it, and I, you know, it, every time I walk in here, of course, you've got these huge double doors with these ornate brass doorknobs. I mean that's a statement to someone coming in here, is that, oh, it's a radio station, but it doesn't look like most radio stations. They look like bunkers, right? They're made out of concrete block. They look like fallout shelters. This has got elegance and style. And then coming in, as Susan said, there's the fireplace that's being restored, that beautiful view, the hardwood floors. Actually, they're probably Doug fir floors, actually.
Yes.
And well maintained. So it's this interesting, in some ways, it's a juxtaposition, but it's this wonderful blend of community service through the radio station and architectural integrity. So I have to say something just very briefly here, if I could. I'm an architectural historian. I look at buildings. I find just the siding, the fabric, the doors, the windows, all that absolutely fascinating. But I have to remind myself that buildings are about people. And that's the beauty of this place. And the name, totally appropriate. Tillicum, as you mentioned, it's a Chinookian name for community. And what better name for a community radio station than Tillicum? So I see these wonderful congruences of both style, structure, and mission.
Wonderfully said. I love that statement. And going back to, I know you mentioned wooden floors. Those weren't always the wooden floors in the lobby. Those were actually done pretty recently, restored. So
you're right. They've been covered up with some pretty dirty carpet. and in the Radio for Good campaign, where we replaced and renewed a lot of things around the station from 2019 to 2022, the rugs were all pulled up and the floors were restored. And they are just gorgeous. And we love them so much. One of the other features that I really like about the house is our new restored window upstairs. Brian restored one of our windows, the one in the southwest corner of the house. It gets a lot of wind and rain and everything. He restored it. It's beautiful. It works so well. And he put a storm window on it. And it's just fantastic. I prayed everyone who gets a tour. It's like, well, I'm sorry, but you have to go all the way up the stairs, all the way down the hallway into the furthest place in the house to see this window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but and that's several preservation efforts with that, because the windows and you just recently also fixed the door that you were mentioning, the sliding door. So there is definitely restoration that happens at KMUN. Mm-hmm. And it's important, you know, to preserve that integrity of the building.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. And one thing I did want to ask about is there any challenges with being a radio station that's operating out of a historical home?
I'll tell you what the worst thing is. There's no storage. Well, we've done away with most of the closets because they were not, they just wouldn't fit anything we needed them to, and made other kinds of storage and stuff. We've retrofitted the basement for some storage down there and things. But yeah, the storage thing is crazy. And when I first came to the station in 2023 as the development director, I was like, why are we here in this building? It has poor electricity to most of the station, except for the, you know, high powered studios like the one we're in and stuff. It doesn't have any insulation in the walls. It doesn't have storage, and the plumbing past, you know, the house and everything is clay pipes and gets the tree roots in it. And we get back, you know, things backing up all the time. It's like, why don't we move to a nice modern building and everything? And everyone has said to me over and over for these 10 years, no, Susan, it's cool to be in this house. We're staying here. No way. You're never going to get support for that. And the funny thing now, as the station manager, I have secured so many grants to preserve the building. You know, we're doing the painting this summer. We're rebuilding some wooden stairs. We just got our landscaping plan approved, and we're replacing some rotten stuff like that in siding. Brian's going to do one more window upstairs because we have the money, and we'll continue that as we get more money from grants and such. But yeah, so it's now going to be my legacy that I've kept the bones of the building up. So I think it's kind of funny.
And so can I say amen and bravo to you, Susan, for doing that. Of course, I have a bias, you know. And so, of course, that is part of the challenge of older buildings, is that they buildings don't consciously depreciate. They are, it's a matter of the owners indulging in too much deferred maintenance. So a lot of times it's demolition by neglect. And so that's the people part. Is we have a historic building, and it just it takes time and attention and energy and money. We know all this. So again, a big shout out to KMUN for staying here, and a big thanks to Susan for for speaking for that that continuity.
Well, we're trying to really keep the 1890 vibe while also having the greatest little radio station in the world, and I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Yes, I agree. And what are your guys' closing statements about KMUN in general?
This is a station that represents a community effort that we see in very, very few other communities. It is one of the longest and last surviving examples of a volunteer-based, community-based radio service that is alive and well and thriving. So that in itself is unique, the house notwithstanding, right? Maybe it couldn't do the same in a concrete block bunkhouse, but I think it is about the people. It's about the story. It's about the commitment. It's about the place. It's all these things that make up this North Coast, this Lower Columbia, Columbia River Estuary, both sides of the river. There are a lot of people involved from the north side of the river and southwest Washington. So it's a real, it's a regional resource. It's a regional gem. And I say that as a sometime volunteer and a supporter of KMUN, and also as an architectural historian and a board member of LCPS. It's both and. I mean, it's part of that, part of the specialness of Astoria. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, ditto what Eric said. The people who come into the station and make it work, you know, is really an amazing, it amazes me that, like John Tellis is on the air right now as we're recording this. He is here every Friday for 2 hours doing a show. And there are many examples like that, that people who come in either weekly or biweekly and are committed to bringing our listeners, you, these important messages and this entertainment. We're here for you for news and emergency information. And yeah, that's not true in a lot of communities. It's really very unique. And I fell in love with KMUN many years before I came here, before I came to be an employee here, but listening to the wonderful Ship Report. And it has just grabbed me ever since and kept me tuned in.
There's lots of public radio, right? There's listener-supported radio of private entities, and that's not what KMUN is. KMUN is volunteer-based, community-supported radio. So a lot of people think of, they kind of put public radio or community radio, they put that all in that one category. But it's a very important distinction, and I think that's what makes the vitality of the supporting community here so important. Important distinction.
And that is what I wanted to say. If you don't hear your voice on KMUN, you can come to the station and get a show so that you can hear your voice and others can hear your voice as well. Yeah. That's the big difference from every other radio type of public, commercial, or like us, community.
Agreed. Yes. I've always said it's the people's radio. It 100% is, because it really is. There is that, as Eric was saying, defined difference between public and community radio. And, you know, community, you know, it's just so enriching here. And it's wonderful. We have such a variety here. And I just feel the very overwhelming honor of being a part of it. So it's really great. But yeah, so thank you guys so much for joining me today. Is there any other final words that you wanted to speak about regarding history or anything else of KMUN?
I would speak to your history, Astronomus. It has been a pleasure watching you go from Astoria Youth Radio to where you are now. Thank you so much for bringing this show to the airwaves.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. You know, it's a passion. It is, so... All right. Well, thank you again. Can I have you introduce yourselves one more time?
Susan Peterson. I'm the station manager.
And I'm Eric Wheeler, and I'm an architectural historian.
Thank you, Susan Peterson and Eric Wheeler, for chatting with me today about the Tillicum House. I appreciate you both taking the time to come on the show. Thank you for tuning in to The Preservationist. We hope you tune in again next month. The Preservationist airs every third Tuesday of the month at 9:30 a.m. on KMUN. Until next time, I'm your host, Astronomus Ray, and thank you for listening. I'd like to give a special thanks to my co-host Eric Wheeler, the team here at KMUN, the staff, volunteers, and members of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, and thank you to Camila Swerdloff for producing our theme song. Thanks for tuning in to The Preservationist, and remember, anyone can be a preservationist. The Preservationist is a production of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society for KMUN, written and produced by Astronomus Ray, featuring co-host Eric Wheeler.